It's Thursday, April 26th, and you're listening to The Geek at Geek News Central, show number 760, sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com. Save 25% on a one-year fourth-generation hosting account by using the promo code NAB. Geek News Central is a partner of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Hey, folks, got a great show lined up for you. On the road again. We'll be headed back to Honolulu tomorrow, but we're live as it can be from Jacksonville, Florida. Strap in. Here it comes.
From Honolulu, around the tech world, and into your ear, this is Geek News Central. And now, here's Todd.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from the beautiful state of Florida via the Geek News Central portable studio. Hey everyone, welcome to the show. Of course, my name is Todd Cochran. I want to give a warm welcome to listeners and viewers from around the world. Thanks for checking out the show. Thanks for being here. Thanks for staying subscribed. And for all of you that are longtime listeners of the show or viewers that are part of the Ohana, thanks for being part of the family and thanks for staying subscribed. Of course, we want all of you that are new or those of you that are just recently started subscribing to the show to make sure you get over to geeknewscentral.com. Check out all our great content. We got a great lineup of writers over there putting out great weekly content. Of course, we want you to catch the show later. If you haven't watched it live, you can do or listen live to be available on our tech podcast channel on the Roku, Boxy, Samsung Smart TV, or Google TV. Of course, you can watch on your iPad, your Android, your iPhone, whatever you want to, however you want to consume the content, you can do so. Use your Kindle Fire as well. Plenty of ways to really get the content of this show directly to the device that you're using on a most regular basis. Hey, we always want your feedback on the show as well. So feel free to contact me on Twitter at Geek News. You can email me at geeknews@gmail.com. Or, of course, you can call our action hotline. It's open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at 619-342-7365. That's 619-342-7365. When you're over at Geek News Central, make sure you subscribe to the show. You can find a subscribe icon. Basically, there's iTunes, Zune Marketplace, regular RSS feed available to subscribe. That way, you'll never miss a show. As well, while you're on the website, get signed up for the newsletter. The newsletter will contain everything that I'm going to cover during the show today, all the links and all the information you're going to need to really know to stay abreast of what's happening here at Geek News Central. I'm going to encourage you, of course, to get over to cafepress.com/OhanaStore and pick up your Ohana wear. We've got t-shirts, jackets, hoodies, mouse pads, cups, coffee cups, you name it, we've got it. Definitely check it out at cafepress.com/OhanaStore. This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com. When you're looking for a domain name, dedicated server, virtual dedicated server, shared hosting account, email, mailing list, software, you name it, GoDaddy has it at GoDaddy.com. Got a special for you this month where you can get 25% on a fourth generation hosting account by using the promo code NAB. That'll save you 25% on a one-year fourth generation hosting account. I think you'll really enjoy the service level that you're going to get there. And of course, don't forget all my other codes at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Now, if you've been holding off on becoming a new GoDaddy customer, I'm going to have a rockin' coupon code starting on May 1st for anyone that is not currently a GoDaddy customer. I'm going to give you a huge savings code to use the first time you're over there. For those of you that have had trouble using my ComSale or ComSale 2 codes, talked with GoDaddy about that yesterday. They're going to be issuing me a brand new code for renewals. So if you've got .com renewals that are kind of at this time pending, don't renew them using the ComSale or ComSale 2 code. Wait until the 30th, till April 30th, the new code will be available. It's ComSale 3. I'll let you know about that when it's available, but we're going to have great pricing on that. But for some reason, the old pricing expired and it wasn't working with the two older codes. So we'll have those up and available for you to use. in a few days. But again, all my codes at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Well, I tell you, we had a great time here in Jacksonville so far. Matter of fact, yesterday I drove down to just outside of Orlando and met with my daughter for dinner. She, of course, lives in Tampa, and she works in the Tampa area. Matter of fact, if any of you are in the Tampa area and you're looking for an energetic young lady to work for you, she's going to be looking for a job here soon. So drop me an email at geeknews@gmail.com, and I'll bounce your email over to you. You can take a look at her resume, but I think you'll find a very energetic lady. The store that she's working at currently, that she's managing, a Quiksilver store in her area, is going to be closing in the middle of May. So she's on the hunt. She's actually had a couple of offers already, but we talked quite a little bit about things to do and networking, LinkedIn, and all the stuff that's important to be on these days in order to stay connected and move forward with a career. And I think that she's got a pretty good head on her shoulders. It's amazing to see the different stages that your kids go through, and I'm really excited to see if we could get someone that's looking for a new employee in and around Tampa. And if you are, definitely drop me an email, and have her send over your resume. She's good in merchandising and working with celebrities as well. So definitely send me an email if you have something there that you can offer up. Let's talk about what else is going on. Had lunch with one of our Tech Podcast members, Richard Hay. He's the host of Windows Observer Podcast. And I haven't had a great lunch. Richard and I share a few things in common. Richard just recently retired from the Navy as a Master Chief. He is a wing Master Chief over at NAS Jacksonville. So we kind of met on NAS Jacksonville. We went to the Chiefs Club, had lunch. It was kind of nice, and chatted with him. So I had a great time with Richard. And definitely check Richard's show out. I believe it's windowsobserver.com. You can just search Windows Observer on the on Google. And you'll definitely find that he does everything Windows and has a great show. Why don't I get some feedback? How did you guys like the last video? How did it turn out? I know that the lip sync issue is an issue. From camera to mic and everything, it's not quite lining up exactly. Tweaked it the best of my ability, but it still wasn't perfect. But let me know how that turned out. And I had a different camera set up, but I left home without one cable. And in building the new Ohanasaurus, I used two of the cables I needed. I needed to go from FireWire to the new FireWire connector on the laptop. And of course, I left that connector at home. Haven't had time, or that cable. It had three or four in the drawer, but I just didn't grab one. But, it's one of those things. You leave one cable and you just you screw yourself completely. But that's the way it works. But really looking forward to really kind of making some major changes to the travel kit based on what I learned at NAB. And we're going to be ordering some gear. It should be really cool. It'll look like a true studio in a box when it's all done. And the best thing is it'll all be wired out. All I have to do is pull out, put on my headset, plug it in, and rock and roll. So I'll be sharing with that. More info with you here in the near future. Of course, I want to take just a moment and thank our last sponsor, and then we'll get into the tech content. I got a lot of stuff for you tonight. There was a huge stack, and matter of fact, I was in the room here. I had C-SPAN on, and we're going to talk about a bill that just passed a little bit later in the show that the president has said he is going to veto. So we'll see what happens with this. But first of all, really in business today, people are on the go. Whether they're working from a home, a different office, or traveling like I am, it's almost impossible to get everyone in the same room for a meeting. And that's why I recommend GoToMeeting by Citrix with HD Faces. Everyone can meet online no matter where they're at. Really, GoToMeeting allows you to collaborate on documents in real time, like being in the same room, really. Anyone can present or attend. It's so easy, again, with their new iPad and Android app. Really, you just click and be there, and you can participate in the meeting, even with the HD faces, with your tablet. And it's just really easy to get started, and all you have to do is go over to GoToMeeting.com, click on the Try It Free button. and enter the promo code podcast, and you're going to get a free unlimited 30-day trial. Again, visit GoToMeeting.com, click on the Try It Free button, and enter the promo code podcast. That's GoToMeeting.com, promo code podcast. All right, got a stuff here in a stack for us tonight. Let me go ahead and see if I can close a few things as we're using a considerable number of resources while the recordings are going on. And let me zoom over here. I've got everything loaded tonight in Firefox. I don't know why I started out with that, but I did. As you can see, this is a remarkably early recording of the show. I'm starting here at about 7 p.m. Jacksonville time. Actually have a dinner appointment with some clients, so we're going to get the show knocked out so I can get to dinner, make the dinner appointment by 8:30. So it's going to be cutting it tight. So as soon as I get done with the show tonight, it's zoom out the door and then off to dinner. But I'll start off tonight talking about Gmail. Gmail has increased their storage from 7.5 gigs to 10 gigs. And this is huge, and this is a big bump. So if any of you were getting a little tight on your storage, the folks at Gmail have increased your storage from 7.5 to 10 gigs. Now, while there's good news, there's bad news. And there's an article over at torrentfreak.com talking about movie spy cameras. And, you know, a lot of what's happening in movie theaters are people are taking their cameras out and filming the screen, and really they're pirating the video right from the movie theater. But, you know, the elimination of camcorder movie piracy has been on the agenda of the movie studios for many, many years. And during the last decade, the issue of so-called camming and taking video recording device into a theater and filming the screen has really grew to the point where almost every major movie that has come out has been cammed, and it's generally available within hours of a movie being released at movie theaters. Now, what they've started doing in some theaters is they're implementing something called Pirate Eye, and what Pirate Eye is it films people that are in movie theaters. And it looks for cameras and catches people recording stuff, and is pretty blatant what some people do. They have a camera set right up in the cup holder. They're holding them up on their shoulder. And, you know, in a dark movie theater, you know, some of the tactics they used before was using infrared or an IR camera to look for people doing this type of stuff. So now they're filming people while they're watching a film. Now, I think this is pretty disgusting privacy issues, but it retains what it sees and basically retains it for in a forensic quality and is used as evidence for prosecution. Now, they don't talk about how many people they prosecuted over this, but it appears that piracy has been used more than simply cracking down on movie piracy. At CinemaCom, Managing Director Mitch Neuhauser revealed that someone had been detected at the convention not partaking in movie piracy per se, but recording Paramount's presentation to exhibitors. The individual was apparently arrested and taken away by police. Now, oftentimes when I'm there as media, I'm recording presentations. I'm recording their screens. So there must have been some rule on no filming on site. That's pretty amazing that this guy at a convention would have been arrested for filming someone's presentation. And, you know, it really doesn't make a lot of sense to me unless they have, you know, some places display no camera filming. But I've never heard of a convention where you could not actually record something. So time will tell how this turns out, and we'll see if people get prosecuted. But be forewarned, they could be recording you at a movie theater. Now, this also brings up some other issues. If you have a young couple that are dating that are smooching or something like that, then, you know, they're going to be filmed smooching as well. So I think that's a bit of a privacy issue, but we'll see how well the general public reacts to this. John C. Dvorak, in another article, has written up a post talking about iPad domination. And he talks about the theory of basically... basically what happens is that people will buy an iPad, they'll buy apps. This will in turn encourage developers to build apps, which in turn sells more iPads. It's just this ongoing this cycle, this spin cycle, to cause a tablet and different operating systems. You know, they kind of build upon that, and that's what happened with Microsoft for years. And it's obvious here that the iPad has taken a significant foothold in the tech space and has really just, you know, it is the default device. I very rarely see anyone using a different type of device. But, you know, Microsoft has gotten to the point where they become so essentially desperate, and maybe isn't desperate, maybe it's a smart thing to do, but they're actually paying developers to write code for its devices. And this is basically, they're trying to kickstart that process that continues to build as people see more apps. They're more inclined to buy the device and so forth. So we will see where this goes over time. But right now, the iPad is definitely kicking everyone's butt in the tablet space in a big, big way. For those of you that use Flickr, Flickr has released a new uploader, and it makes photo uploads easier. The Flickr app is basically called Uploader. And it will allow you to, it has features like an HTML5, which allows users to simply drag and drop photos into the browser to upload them. It also supports thumbnails. You can add titles, description, tags easily. You can organize your photo into sets. And they claim a 20 to 30% faster upload using the new app. In addition to those features, Flickr has also upped the file size for both pro and free users to 50 megs and 30 megs, respectively. I've got a pro account. I didn't know I had an upload limit. But the Flickr promises more updates on the way. So that just goes to show you that Yahoo is investing in the platform and finally making some progress here to improve it. So I know I have a Flickr account. Don't have a lot of stuff on it, but every once in a while I post up to it from time to time. All right, Opera 12. It's opening its beta doors. Supposedly improves performance and stability. They've added some new themes. So that's good news for those of you that are Opera users. And the Opera 12 now offers complete 64-bit compatibility with both Mac and Windows. And while experimental hardware acceleration and WebGL support are also now embedded, so they've added a smarter tab loading sequence, which speeds improvements for faster page uploads and a way to customize the look with a bundle of new themes. So definitely, if you are looking to pick up the Opera 12 beta, is available to download and pick up. Now, if you live in North Carolina and you're a blogger, you are going to want to pay big time attention to this. Let me take a shot of water here. There's some issues with bloggers on licensing. And sadly, this could end up being a template on how to crack down on bloggers who say things on their blogs that the powers to be don't want to be said. They're saying that blogging isn't legal in North Carolina, but claiming to be an expert without being licensed is. So what's happening here is the North Carolina Board of Dietetics and / Nutritionists are threatening to send a blogger to jail for recording publicly his battle against diabetes and encourage others to follow his lifestyle. Apparently in North Carolina, Chapter 90, Article 25 of the North Carolina General Statutes makes it a misdemeanor to practice dietetics or nutrition without a license. And according to the law, practicing nutrition includes assessing the nutritional needs of individuals and groups and providing nutritional counseling. Apparently, unless this guy rewrites his 3-year-old blog, he could be sued by the licensing board. And if he loses the lawsuit and refuses to take down the blog, he could face up to 120 days in jail. This is remarkable. And what you have is you got dietitians that don't want this guy to speak out. So the board director has said that this guy has a First Amendment right to blog about his diet, but he can't encourage others to adopt it unless the state has certified him as a dietitian or a nutritionist. So this is just some people that have simply lost their doggone minds. But this is the way it is in the nanny state, especially in North Carolina. You can do this, but don't ever recommend something. You can talk about it all day long, but don't tell people to give it a try. All right, one of the apps that I use a great deal on my iPhone is called TripIt. TripIt's a great app because, you know, I can go to my United app and I can look stuff up, but TripIt has much more than that. It has a flight, hotel, reservations I have at restaurants and appointment stuff. It's really good. And basically, all I have to do is punch in my confirmation number. It loads the data and basically keeps track of upcoming and past travel events. So this is a great app, and I recommend it. If you travel a lot like I do, you'll definitely want to try TripIt out. And again, it's been updated. Hey, one thing I will say, it appears like I'm going to be able to go out to Blog World New York City first week of June. I'm going to be speaking during two different sessions at Blog World. So if you're going to be if you're considering coming to Blog World New York City, I just let you know I'm going to be there. So we'll be able to hook up and have an event. Raw Voice is not exhibiting at the show, but I'll be there to talk with content creators. But I'll be out there again speaking in several of the podcasting sessions for Blog World New York City, Blog World and New Media Expo. Also, they're going to be changing their name at the show, which is exciting. And they've announced a move back to Las Vegas. Pre-CES is when their next show will be, which is an interesting time to have it. So anyway, I'll be heading out to New York City for Blog World the first week of June. Moving on here, SpaceX has delayed the Dragon launch. SpaceX announced Monday, which I missed, that we'll push back the launch of the Dragon spacecraft by about a week. Now, when I was talking with our good friend over at Windows Observer, Richard Hay, he's actually going to be going and attending the launch. And he's got a whole bunch of stuff kind of stuck in between there. But this is pretty exciting. He's going to be there for the launch, and we should see good content coming out of his site for the SpaceX launch with the Dragon, basically cargo carrier, that's going to be going to the International Space Station. Of course, we talked at the very beginning of the show, the CISPA Act has passed. They didn't expect the vote to come to the table until tomorrow, but it has made the House. The House went through the whole thing today, and CISPA passed by 200 and some to whatever the other number was. But the Obama administration has said they're going to veto the bill unless there is some changes that were put in. It doesn't appear that those changes were implemented. The administration has concerns that mirror those of civil liberty groups and could be partially addressed by some of the amendments, but hopefully this clear statement from the White House is indicating that they're going to veto it. Now, we'll see if the president follows through on this, but it looks like the CISPA did pass the House, and we'll see where this goes next. All right, in a very interesting development, the securities, the SEC, the Securities Exchange Commission, is investigating Hollywood for alleged bribes in China. Oh yes, they're putting money in Chinese officials' hands. Now I have to laugh because if you go to some countries in Asia, you know, you keep some extra money in your pocket because police are on the take. It's bad. I mean, you know, to do business in many of these countries, I'm sure companies keep a petty cash drawer full of cash to pay off people. Not to say that it's right, but you know, the NPAA has been saying, "Oh, we've had huge piracy in China and they're stealing movies," but it appears the Securities Exchange Commission has sent letters of inquiry to at least five movie studios in the past 2 months, including News Corp's 20th Century Fox, Disney, DreamWorks Animation, and a few others. The letter asks for information about potential inappropriate payments and how the companies dealt with certain government officials in China. So this is what is being reported over on TechDirt. And what it is what's going on is they've been trying to get more movies released into movie theaters in China because China's booming middle class is increasingly willing to pay tickets to go to a premier cinema experience. So what they've been doing is they've been bribing the Chinese officials to get more movies released and into the Chinese marketplace. While at the same time, the sky is falling, and we're losing money to to piracy. Well, it's still a big issue. It just goes to show you that the movie theaters are beyond that are still trying to get movies into China and are willing to, apparently, and you know, according to SEC, roll out some Do Re Mi to some Chinese officials to get the movies in the country. All right, you know, behind me, those of you watching the video, you can see the partial bit of a painting, or it's just a reprint, you know, cheap reprint in a hotel. But the New York Times has an article about another ridiculous bit of copyright, the fact that movie makers have to license artwork even if they own the physical piece to show it in a movie. So it gets worse when you find out that the Artists' Rights Society, think the RIAA and the MPAA, that anytime they re-release a movie, let's say they may take it from a normal version to 3D version, that they have to re-license. They need a new license. So this is like tripping me out, because here I am in a hotel room. There's a piece of hotel art behind me. And imagine, you know, of course my head is covering up most of it, but imagine someone says, oh, you had art, my art, in your podcast, so you need to pay me the license to have had that in there. So I'm just wondering now, if I'm going, every time I check into a hotel, if there's a piece of hotel reprint art on the wall, am I going to have to take that down and just to make sure it doesn't get in the video, so I'm not violating some Artists' Rights Society's copyright stuff? So apparently, the Artists' Rights Society safeguards intellectual property rights for more than 50,000 visual artists or their estates, including Picasso's. How long has he been gone? You know, amazing. It really is. So anyway, thought I'd share that with you. And it's one of those, oh my goodness, moments. It really, really is. All right, the Mophie Juice Pack. You guys know I've got one on my iPhone, right? Well, they've come out with the Mophie Juice Pack Power Station Pro. It's $129. It has a rugged design. It can has compatibility with many devices and have a 6,000 milliamp battery. It's a big and clunky. It's expensive. There's no wall charger. So, but anyway, this is a great way, if you want to spend $129, to be able to recharge a phone multiple times. And it says it'll extend your battery life 24 hours on a, or talk time 24 hours on a mobile phone. So again, it's the brand new Mophie Juice Pack Power Station Pro. Of course, I'll have a link up in the show notes. Well, ever since Google introduced Google Drive, Google's facing suspicion and confusion as it tries to basically persuade people to entrust personal documents on their service. And the confusion centered on a passage advising that anyone uploading or submitting content to Google Drive was granting Google, and this is in quotes, a worldwide license to use, host, store, reproduce, modify, create derivative works such as those resulting from translation, adaptions, and or other changes we make so that your content works better with our services. Communicate, publish, publicly perform, publicly display, and distribute such content. So those were like troubling words to me. Google says that that language is in that license. It's actually what they say, standard legalese that gives the company the licensing rights it needs to deliver on services that users request. They say that the way that Google keeps documents in its data centers requires the company to obtain a license to host, store, and or reproduce the files. If, say, a screenwriter in China uses Google services to collaborate on a movie script, when in Mandarin with a script editor in Hollywood who only reads English, says Google needs the rights for translation, adaptions, or other changes to allow the two writers to work on the document in different languages and make revisions. I'm going to tell you, if you ever see Japanese being converted into English and then English being converted into Japanese, it's horrible. And I can almost guarantee you that that is not a good use case, because it would be the most ridiculous screenplay ever brought to film, and there would be frustration upon both of those native speakers because the translations just aren't right. But anyway, there is a little bit of concern on Google Drive. Just want to let you know about that if you've started to use it. I haven't. but definitely check out the license information. Wired has a start article about clout. What's your clout score? And I looked at my clout score, and I laugh. I have a partly 52 on my clout score. Apparently, there was a guy that was doing an interview in Toronto recently, and he had 15 years of experience consulting for major brands like AOL, Ford, Kraft, and this guy felt confident in his qualifications, but midway through his interview, the interviewer asked about his clout score. His score was a 34. The interviewer cut the interview short pretty soon after that, and basically he was passed over. They hired a guy whose clout score was 67. So this guy worked for months to get his clout score up and eventually hit 72. He says as his score rose higher, so did the number of jobs and speak invitations he received, which is kind of interesting. He says 15 years of accomplishment weren't as important as that score. And I have to agree, you know, the clout thing is just this mysterious calculation on your influence in the space. And I have to laugh because I know what this show's audience is. I know people follow me on Twitter, Google Plus, and they say, oh, I influence X number of people. And I'm like, okay, then why does like times 150 of check into my show? You know, so it's, you know, it's, I don't believe this clout score. I really don't. So even if you have no idea what your clout score is, there's a chance it's already affecting your life. If you've checked into the Palms Casino in Las Vegas, last summer they were checking people's clout scores as they were checking in. And if your clout score was above a certain level, they were upgrading your room and not even telling you so that you would have a better experience at the hotel. And it really helped. It says that the Palms had only the 17th largest social networking following among Las Vegas-based hotel casinos. After this experiment, it jumped to third on Facebook and has one of the highest clout scores among its peers. So this is concerning. And I just don't know. You know, not everyone's going to want to look at their clout score, and not everyone's going to want to have to work to get their clout score up. But it just seems people could game it. And the guy that actually went in the original part of this article, this guy that got passed over for another person, he only lasted 90 days. So it just goes to tell you the clout score does not essentially guarantee employee success. So be careful out there, okay? And it's just kind of weird. But anyway, check that out. I have the link up in for Wired. Of course, cloud is at cloud.com. All right, Mac users, Microsoft has re-released Office for Mac 2011 after fixing bug fixes. So SP2, Service Pack 2, is now available. So the Service Pack is available to update. And there was a bug that was in the original update. So if you updated already, you want to re-update your Outlook 2011 that you're using with your Mac, okay? All right, the BBC is reporting, this is for our listeners in the UK, that the Digital Economy Act anti-piracy measures are being delayed. Of course, the controversial piracy law, which we've covered on this show, the DEA has again been delayed by the Department of Culture, Media, and Sport. They're saying that the... it appears that they're not going to move forward until at least 2014. They got to still work some stuff out. But this was about letters that were going to go out to apparent illegal file sharers and informing them of their activity and trying to get people to not be repeat offenders and so forth. So you've got some time here. Of course, you know, last month, BT and another company lost a two-year legal bid to have the act overturned. Which they had argued it was incompatible with European law, but yet they're going to delay it now for at least until 2014. So see where this goes, but good news for those of you in the UK. Facebook is also, I'm switching gears here, Facebook has decided that they are going to be offering free antivirus marketplace. Facebook is offering free antivirus applications and stuff for malware. Members are being encouraged to download anti-malware program, which they can use at no cost for 6 months. So this is kind of an interesting deal here. And with Facebook launching an antivirus marketplace, it's a new portal to protect the social network users. This is huge. The move comes after security firm Sophos described the site, aka Facebook, as a fertile breeding ground for hoaxes, spam, and chain letters, adding that Facebook needed to work harder than ever to reduce the havoc criminals were wreaking. So I don't know which software they've made available, but they are making some software available for you to download for free. I'll see if I can find the link to it. But again, they're offering free software for Facebook users to be able to use on your computer to reduce viruses and malware. There is the security firm that is called Kaspersky Labs, which is a Russian company. I think, don't quote me on that, but I'm pretty sure they are. They have announced during the InfoSecurity 2012 conference that Apple is 10 years behind Microsoft on the security front. He says in a discussion, he says, I think Apple is 10 years behind Microsoft in terms of security, Kaspersky told the CBR. For many years, I've been saying that from a security standpoint of view, there's no big difference between Mac and Windows. It's always been possible to develop Mac malware, but Flashback was a bit different. For example, it was asking questions about being installed in the system and using vulnerabilities it was able to get to the user's mode without any alarms. So he says that that OS X's relatively low incidence of malware over the last decade has caused Apple to fall behind, while the abundance of viruses, worms, and Trojans targeting Windows forced Microsoft to step up its game. Now, there's been a lot of controversy on this. They're saying, of course, that Mac users that are using Windows on the machines as well are getting more infections because of the Windows installs. But irregardless, you're going to be running into issues now where Macs are going to be much higher targeted. You look at their earnings report that came out after the last show, you know, incredible earning numbers from Apple. Means they're selling a lot of iPads, they're selling a lot of Macs, they're selling a lot of hardware. So, you know, they're king of the hill right now. So what that is end up going to be, or what that means is that the target of opportunities with Mac devices are much higher. Now, again, I'm not, I know some of you say, hey, I'm safe, so far I've had no issues, but, you know, Apple as well is making changes to their system. The company has added malware detection to OS X in its latest update to help with this latest threat. And Apple continues to improve security in the next version, dubbed Mountain Lion. Features like sandboxing will have a more robust implementation in Mountain Lion. Apple's also installing a new feature called Gatekeeper, which allows users to limit software installs to either the Mac App Store or only through verified developers. So, you know, with the Flashback Trojan raising concerns over the security of OS X, I hope that Apple is becoming more responsive and understanding they've got an issue here. And just for those of you that are Mac users out there, it might be worth your time at this point to install antivirus and malware software. You know, you don't want to be in a situation where your machine is basically taken over and you are essentially without recourse and have a very hard time getting anything that's been installed on your machine removed. Not to say that it's going to be easy for them to do that, but it's, you know, it very well could happen here in the near future. All right, Sprint is confirming it will serve unlimited data to the next iPhone. So this is pretty cool. Sprint is going to offer unlimited data on the next iPhone, even if it's an LTE device. This is going to make Sprint the only carrier in the United States that still has unlimited plans. So this is outstanding, and I think this is smart on Sprint's part. So might to give some of you a consideration to switch to a Sprint device. Well, WWDC was announced Tuesday morning, and of course, the Apple Worldwide Developers Conference, better known as WWDC, was announced. Apple makes available 5,000 tickets at $1,600 a ticket. They made them available on sale. They sold out in 2 hours. And a bunch of people on the West Coast are really upset because the tickets went on sale at 5:30 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, and people weren't able to get tickets. And there's a lot of annoyed iOS developers on the West Coast. So there's a lot of speculation on why Apple announced the ticket sales when they did. And, you know, people are really, this time of year, they're really watching for those sale announcements. And they know they've got a limited amount of time, but 5,000 tickets at $1,600 a piece, gone. Now, you can still go to WWDC. You're just not going to be able to go into the conference. But the people on the West Coast are really upset and saying they're going to be irritated as they're there, not able to attend, and all the East Coast international people. But sounds to me like Apple needs to start having WWDC East and WWDC West at the same time. All right, Twitter's updated its iPhone and Android apps. They've improved discovery, search, and also push notifications. So definitely get your updates to your Twitter app if you've got that loaded on your device. Apple also announced today that they're planning to build a private off-campus restaurant to stop competitors from overhearing staff conversations. So Apple has a planning request approved for a new off-campus restaurant. This is a 21,468-foot square foot cafeteria. This is amazing that they are going to build a dedicated, huge eating facility that will be secure. They say, we like to provide a level of security so people and employees can feel comfortable talking about their business, their research, and whatever project they're engineering without the fear of competition sort of overhearing their conversations. So he says, this is a real issue today here in Cupertino because we've got other companies here in our same business. So they've submitted pictures, but this is pretty amazing what they're going to do. And they're going to have a passenger bus taking them from the campus to the facility. And it's not close to their current campus, but they're also going to have a 1,000-seat corporate auditorium at this restaurant facility as well. So anyway, it's interesting when a company has to build a restaurant to stay more secret. If you haven't been over Airbnb, check it out. Airbnb.com streamlines your booking process for last-minute travel. They've created an alternative booking service that it calls Match, where users teach the system their preferences and send out the same booking query to multiple hosts, and Airbnb manages the replies. The company says this process should be about 3 times faster than making a normal reservation, and Match is designed for last-minute travel, and Airbnb tells that basically it's going to be a tool when you're trying to book travel in 5 days or less. So Airbnb.com/match if you want to go directly to the site if you haven't used it before. New service out there where you can watch live TV on your iPad, your iPhone, or your Android. I don't know how long this site is going to last before they get taken down, but it's called ioslive.tv. Apparently, they're getting heavy traffic right now. You can watch from a large selection of channels from US, UK, France, Germany, Italy, all for free. And I'm sure, again, going to be sued immediately into the ground. We'll see what happens with this, but you can check it out while it lasts, ioslive.tv, where you can watch live TV on your iPhone, iPad. It's using, basically, it's all web-based, so definitely check it out. All right, here's some recommendations from the folks over at Gizmodo, and this is 10 tech stupidity taxes you should never pay. And I had to laugh with this. Number one, rent-to-own services. Rent-to-own services, stay away from them like the plague. Speed up my PC services. That's definitely another one to stay away from. Extra DVD backups of downloadable software. You know, here's the thing. If you're going to download software, if you buy some software online and it costs you $200 and you're worried about it, get a USB stick, save that to a USB stick or save it to a DVD, you know, burn your own. You don't have to create your own. You don't have to pay for an extra one. Just, you know, download it and save it, okay? It's smart. It's, you know, a smart way to do it that way. You know, there's also resellers are trying to sell you protection plans. And the only time I have gotten use out of a protection plan was on a $2,600 projection television set I bought that I had technicians come out twice to repair. And that's the only time I've ever had a protection plan pay off. You know, when it comes to notebooks and stuff, you buy a $1,000 notebook and they want $300 for the protection plan. Does it really make sense to do that? So, you know, most notebooks are going to fail in the beginning or within the first year. And then after that, really the biggest thing you have to worry about is, Jeffrey's texting me here. Let me text Jeff. Do you want a signature for FedEx? No? Okay. sorry about that. He tried calling. I saw the phone ring, and he doesn't normally call him, but he's FedExing back some wireless gear for me. So anyway, don't, you know, protection plans, you know, be careful with those. Ring back tones, you know, you can make your own, right? You don't have to pay for those. A geek squad, you know, unless you're not a geek, unless you're, you know, they are really expensive. You know, Best Buy's Geek Squad charges $99 to burn a DVD for you. Staples Easy Tech Team charges $30 to install a piece of software for you. You know, Office Depot Tech Depot Department charges $99 to install Windows for you. You know, you can do that on your own, all right? Renting a router from your broadband provider. You don't have to rent one for, you know, most ISPs will give you one, but Time Warner charges as much as $6 a month for you. The last modem I got for Time Warner, I had for 6 or 7 years. You can buy good routers at Best Buy or almost any place for less than $100. So don't get a broadband router. Don't pay for that. It doesn't make a lot of sense, okay? You can buy one, and just you'll have to pass them some extra information, but you don't have to do that. International data fees. When you travel to Europe, U.S. carriers are expecting you to get so high on your data that they won't notice that you're charging you for roaming. Make sure you get a roaming plan before you go somewhere. Also, be careful of subsidized 3G and 4G tablets. You know, you're going to end up spending a huge amount of money on that data plan where you may pay $400 for the tablet up front, and then you may have to pay like $600-800 over the lifetime of the contract. And it just makes that tablet so super expensive. Okay. I just got another. Okay. Another reply from Jeffrey. So anyway, Paid People Finder, a.k.a. sites like MyLife.com. The folks at Gizmodo say, don't do that. You know, just go ahead and Google people. But anyway, link will be up in the show notes on this. And top 10 things you should not buy as when you're out there getting tech. All right, Acer reported their quarter one earnings. Boy. They only cleared $11.2 million in profit. They had a very weak quarter, and they burnt a lot of cash, and they feel that part of their earnings decrease was due to increased hardware costs caused by the Thailand floods. But this is bad. You know, they're a huge company and only had $11.2 million in profit. Well, at least they had profit and didn't go backwards. All right, Raspberry Pi is shipping. If you shell out $25 to get your hands on the Raspberry Pi, the thing is actually shipped. So there's some companies out there that are helping you build upon that platform. So I have a link up there. It's one of the companies that's really doing some cool stuff. It's called Adafruit, Adafruit.com. So you can definitely check that out. I have that link up in the show notes for you, for those of you that were doing that. Let's see here. Zynga. Man, these guys are like smoking. Zynga reported bookings for quarter one at $329 million. And 300, basically, they had a revenue increase of 15% and 32% year-on-year. Daily active user up 6% year-on-year from 62 million to 65 million. Monthly unique users are up 25% from 182 million to 146 million. Zynga also said increased monthly usage paying users from 2.9 to 3.5. And they still had a net loss of $85 million. So even though they're cranking in the cash, they're still losing money. But it's huge, huge amount of money they're raking in. And I know they're spending a lot of money on dev. I haven't read their reporting, but huge amount of cash Zynga's bringing in. Okay, I was kind of surprised. I met up with my daughter yesterday. She didn't inform me, but her laptop had crapped out. And so I was, kind of concerned on that. She hadn't bought a new one yet. And she was using her Kindle. She bought a Kindle Fire. And she said, I've been using this for almost all my computing. I watch Netflix. I do all my shopping. I do, all this stuff that she does on her Kindle Fire. And I was quite surprised. So we talked about that quite a little bit. And I've got a couple of spare laptops that are relatively new hanging around, so I'm going to ship her a laptop. But I was shocked that she was using it as much as she was, and we talked about Android apps and so forth. But, here you had a young lady who is at a point in life where, she was either pay the pay her car insurance or, put money down for a new laptop, and she opted to pay her car insurance smartly. And, dad's in a position where he can help her out with a PC, but she's been getting along with a Kindle for a while now. And so we talked a lot about that. And she says, there's just some stuff I can't do, but she says most stuff I can do on the Kindle. She says, one thing I can't do is I can't go into old Facebook stuff and clean up posts. So she was talking about limitations of it. But I said, well, so do you consider this could you live without a laptop? And she says about 85% of the time she could. So I was really very surprised. And but anyone else just using a Kindle Fire as your only computer? Love to hear from you. He'd love to hear your thoughts. Are you using your tablet as your iPad or another Android tablet as your only PC? Have you gave up your laptop? I'd love to hear from you if you have. All right, hey folks, that's going to wrap us up here for the show. I do have some email comments that have come in, and let me get to those. No, I don't. We didn't have any been calling the hotline tonight. If you want to call on the hotline and leave a comment, you can do so at geeknews@gmail.com, and the hotline is if you want to leave an email. If you want to call the hotline, it's 619-342-7365. And but a couple of emails I got here. I got one from Tim talking about some information about China and a company called ProView, which basically holds a iPad trademark in China. So I know that Apple's been working through that. Another article that Tim sent over is Hackers Turn MIT Building into a Giant Tetris Game. So I've got that link up, and it's a CNET article. We got a... When was this? Did I cover this on the last show? I got an email from Trucker Tom. Said, hey, Todd, found this interesting link on the Drudge Report, the real X-ray spec. The new Terahit scanner lets mobile phones see through walls. I may have covered that already. But light on the email this week. And I want to thank Tom and Tim for sending in comments on the show tonight. But again, geeknews@gmail.com. You can Twitter me @geeknews. You can follow me on Google+, Todd Cochran, or even on Facebook, Todd Cochran as well. But thanks for hanging out with me. I know we've had a couple of short shows here, the last couple of shows. Hope you've enjoyed the fast, rapid, fire-paced content of the show. And can't wait to get back to Honolulu, get back in the studio. But, I looked at my frequent flyer miles tonight, and I'm up to 58,000. It was actually 58,000. And I'm thinking, I'm only coming to the end of April, and I'm already at 58K. I think the traveling is going to continue. I've definitely got a couple of trips even planned in May. So we're going to be in and out of the Honolulu studio. But on the next trip, my plan is to go green screen. So we're still looking for feedback from all of you to let me know what type of a background we should use with the green screen. If you guys don't suggest anything, I'm going to surprise you. We're going to have a little fun with it. We'll also be increasing the camera quality. Right now, I'm just using a webcam just like this. This is what looks like that. But I've got a regular camera in the bag that I'd hope to use. But as I said, I left one cable at home. We're using Wirecast to do the broadcast stream remotely here and also doing the recording. We're up on Ustream tonight as our streaming site. But again, most of you listen, like 99.999999% of you listen to this or watch the show post-show. Don't forget, we're on Google TV, Samsung Smart TV. We're on Roku, Boxy, on the Tech Podcast channel on those devices. And, of course, just come over to geeknewscentral.com and click on the podcast link. You'll be able to get all the content. Don't forget, we have the Gadget Professor at GNC. We have Robot Underpants and the Saturday Morning Tech Show. There will be no Saturday Morning Tech Show on Saturday as I will be on an airplane flying back to Honolulu. But we'll have one next week and, of course, content all next week from the studio in Hawaii. But until then, everyone take care. Thanks for hanging out with me. It's been my pleasure to bring you a show again. My name is Todd Cochran of Geek News Central. Take care and aloha.